أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. صلوات الله عليه.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I would like to begin by extending tabrikat, best wishes to all of you on this very special occasion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His special blessings on you for celebrating the birth anniversary of Abbas. Who was Abbas? Abbas was the lion of Ali. Abbas was the hero of Karbala. He was the flag bearer of Hussein, the beloved brother of Zainab, and the loving uncle of Sakina. When we think of Hazrat Abbas, the image that comes in our mind is of a person who was very courageous and strong. This image is true in the sense that when he would approach the enemy army, they would not dare challenge him or even accept his challenge. But the question is, what is courage? What is shuja'at? When you say Abbas was courageous, very strong, very shaji, what does it mean? Does shuja'at and courage means that somebody who always lashes out at others? Or somebody who always has an angry look on his face? Or is unwilling to make a just compromise where it would be valid? No, this is not courage. So it's important to understand the personality of Abbas bin Ali and to learn lessons from his personality. We have to spend some time in reflecting on this issue of courage and strength. Courage actually is reflected by how a person controls his emotion of ghadab. And ghadab means anger. To explain this phenomenon, let me go to the wordings of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Some of the sayings of the Imam are so powerful that you will not be able to see that clarity of concepts anywhere else. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Inna Allah khassa al-malik bil-aql duna ash-shahwa wal-ghadab." He says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels, He blessed them with reason, with aql, without any desire or anger. So they don't have this element of desire and anger within them. Then Ali talks about the creation of the animals, and he says, وَخَصَّ الْحَيْوَانَاتِ بِهِمَا دُونُهُ. But when it comes to animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the emotions of desire and anger, or the feelings of desire and anger, or power of desire and anger within them, but He did not bless them with reason. وَشَّرَفَ الْإِنسَانِ بِعِطَاءِ الْجَمِيلِ. But when it comes to human beings, Ali says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the human beings with all these powers, aql, you know, reason, as well as desire and anger. فَإِنْ قَادَتْ شَهَوَتَهُ وَغَضَبَهُ لِعَقْلِهِ صَارَ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. If a human being is able to control his anger and desire by the power of his reason, then he actually becomes superior to the level of the angels. لِوُصُولِهِ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ معدون المناضع والملائكة ليس لهم مضاهم. He says the reason why human beings can attain that level is because he would be able to attain that level in spite of the obstacles in form of desire and anger, the obstacles which have not been given to the angels. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen has given us the roadmap that if we want to attain higher levels, then we have to control our emotion of anger and desire with the wisdom of our reason, our aql. And that is the purpose of coming to this dunya. So when we look at this element of anger, known as ghazab in Islamic psychology, you know, this is a natural phenomenon that Allah has created among human beings. It is a natural emotion. It is actually a natural way of responding to threats. If we didn't have this element of ghazab, or animals didn't have the element of ghazab, we would not be able to fight and defend ourselves against what we perceive to be dangerous to us. When we react in that way, that is actually because of this element of ghazab within us. So it is an important element. However, the issue is that this emotion of ghazab and anger manifests in a variety of degree, from mild irritation to intense fury and rage. In Islamic psychology, known as ilm al-nafs, ghadab is described as a fire within us, jamratun, smoldering embers, resentment, just like a stone which also has a fire or energy, you might call it, within it. And it only appears when you see the friction between these two stones. That's when you see the spark. Similarly, we are told in the ahadith of our Ma'sumin, anger erupts from within and manifests in our faces and eyes, as well as in our veins. And this is where you'll see that the heartbeats, you know, increase and blood pressure goes up. Our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wassalam, salawat upon him, barak.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. He says, "Inna hadha al-ghadab jamratun min ash-shaytan." You know, this element of anger is actually, burning embers in you from the shaytan. Tuqadu fi qalbi ibn Adam. This is lit in the heart of the human being. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحْمَرَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ وَانْتَفَخَتْ أَوْدَاجُهُ. You know, when a person becomes angry, then his eyes become red and his veins become swallows up. وَدَخَلَ الشَّيْطَانَ فِيهِ. That is the moment when shaitan comes in and basically overwhelms the human being. And so remember that anger is a natural phenomenon. And because it is natural, we cannot say that essentially it's an evil thing. It only becomes evil, it only becomes a problem when it reaches to the level of intense fury or rage out of the control of one's reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us by creating this emotion of anger within us. He wants to see whether we use it in moderation in the right place at the right time, or do we let it overwhelm us and we get out of control? So to better understand this, let me, talk about the three stages of, expression of this emotion of anger. One is the level of deficiency, where there is total lack of ghazab in a person, where a person has eliminated the element of ghazab, and he fails to react angrily even when it is necessary for defense of honor or life or property. This is actually the sign of cowardice. That person is known as a coward because he has total loss of ghazab in him. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is the excessive expression of ghazab, where a person, is out of control of reason and religious bounds. So you have one that where there is deficiency, the other level where there is excess of anger, and right in between is what we call the medium, the moderation, reacting angrily in appropriate and permissible circumstances. That is what a mu'min or a mu'mina should work for. That yes, anger is important, in the right place, in the right time, but within the bounds of aql, reason, and Islam, and religious teachings. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he praises the good people, he doesn't say al-faqidin al-ghayz, means the good people are those who are devoid of anger, never becomes angry, no. He praises them as al-kadhimin al-ghayz, means those who suppress the anger. They have the ability to express their anger, but they know when to restrain it. They know when to control it. They know when to suppress it. So the righteous people are those who suppress their anger, or if they express that, they do it within reason and within the bounds of the Sharia. Salawat praneek parah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And so this is important to understand when we talk about the shuja'at of Abbas bin Ali. But let me slightly, you know, connect with the current situation of COVID-19. You know, this COVID-19 situation is not only an issue of protecting ourselves against the coronavirus. It's not only a health and medical issue. It also has some byproducts. There are implications in our lives, especially when we talk about spousal relationship. More so where there was already an existing problem of anger or misplaced anger between the spouses. Then the coronavirus problem situation comes in the pandemic, and this will aggravate the situation, when especially when they are working from home, they are at the face of one another. And this is where Islam would say, be extra careful in how you let your emotions get out of control. And although this issue applies to both genders, husbands and wives both, but it is seen more among the husbands. And so I would say that as a head of the family, he must exercise restraint even more than the normal times during this COVID-19 situation. Anger management is not a new issue. The Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt have talked about it. In our religious teachings, we have been given some general guidelines on how to manage anger. And let me share it with you just, you know, so that we learn some lessons before I move forward. Long-term management of this problem of anger. Number one, deal with your arrogance and greed and other triggered points of anger. Identify them and learn how to deal with them. Number one. Number two, realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Compare to yourself. Who are you? You might be the boss in your office or head of the family at home. If you suppress your anger over your subordinates, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suppress his anger against you on the day of Qiyamah. This is the guarantee from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to one of the prophets where he says, Ya ibn Adam, O the children of Adam, udhkuruni fi ghadabik, remember me in the moment of your anger, when you are angry with others. Adhkuruka fi ghadabi, I will remember you when I'll be angry, especially on the day of Qiyamah. And so if you are able to restrain your anger, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us. And he will reward you by restraining his anger against you when you do things which are not right. The third point about the long-term management of ghazab is the issue of learning the virtue of forbearance, hilm, patience, and forgiveness. Unfortunately, you know, when we talk about forbearance and willingness to accommodate the feelings or needs of others, this is gradually eroding. You know, let me share with you an example. It might not always come in a good way, but, you know, these are the examples. You look at the situation we have, the way we have the programs at the moment. You know, most of the Muslim Shia community still are those who are immigrants. Their children are born here or raised here, and the immigrant generation really work hard to build institutions and buildings and the communities so that the next generation, inshallah, will be able to, you know, they are able to live their life as Shia Muslims in this part of the world. And now even that generation now has become, you know, young parents. Now they're dealing with their children. And this is where we have to realize sometimes, you know, we have elders and seniors among us. They might understand English, not fully, but they still cherish to listen at least some part of the majlis or the speech or the ritual or the program, you know, in the Urdu or Gujarati language. And so what do? Most of our programs are in English. You know, sometimes at the end, if you have a bilingual, you know, speaker, you add Urdu at the end. Yes, many, many among the youths don't understand that. But remember, the seniors have been sitting there during the entire program for your sake, for the love of you, the next generation, the generation after that. What is happening with the youths? Where is that issue of, you know, forbearance, that hilm, accommodation, consideration? That have that patience, few minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. It might go to maybe 15 minutes sometimes. You know, when a speaker is speaking, you can't really just control them by the clock. They're not a machine. It takes time, you know, how to wind up in a way, you know, the theme. And so be considerate. This is one of the issues of ghadab, actually. You know, have this forbearance and forgiveness. Especially when we talk about the home situation, those who are the head of the family, when you are dealing with your wife and children, especially when I'm talking about a man here, have this hilm and forbearance and, you know, build up this element of forgiveness towards those who are your subordinates. Salawat on the Quran. This is the long-term management that I talked about, you know, this three elements. On a short-term basis, if you really find yourself in a situation where you become angry, our religious sources actually have some very practical points. I mentioned them before. I would repeat it here, especially keeping the, you know, corona pandemic in mind. Number one, when you feel you are becoming angry, before you lash out, say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." Because shaitan looks for that moment. You know, I used this term before. You know, shaitan looks for the entry point within us. At what time? In what situation? And one of the entry points where he can overcome our reason and our decision is anger. So immediately say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." Inshallah, that will calm you down. But then there are some very practical issues. If you are standing up, this is a hadith from 5th or 6th Imam, where the Imam says, فَأَيُّمُ رَجُلٍ غَضِبَ عَلَى قَوْمٍ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلِيَجْلِسْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِ. Imam says that anyone who becomes angry on his people, in the family, at workplace, then he should immediately sit down. Immediately sit down. This is the trick to it. If you're standing up, sit down. When you immediately sit down, you know, your posture will change and you will become more calmer. And Imam says, ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ سَيَضْحَبُ عَنْهُ رِجْسُ الشَّيْطَانِ. When you sit down from the standing position, then this evilness of shaitan will go away from you. So this issue is of the posture. If you are standing up, sit down. And if you are angry while you are sitting down, I would say, lie down. Say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," and lie down. You know, you will become calm. And number three, Imam says, if you are angry with somebody who is related to you by blood, silat al-rahim, Imam says, touch that person. This feeling, physical contact, it's amazing. It means there must be something that those who are related to you to one another by blood, and if they are among the mahram, And if you become angry at that person, you're not touch. I'm talking about touching. Not I'm saying using the hand. No. When you touch, it seems according to the hadith of the Imams, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ غَضِبَ عَلَىٰ ذِي رَحِيمٍ, any person who becomes angry with somebody who is related by blood to him, فَلْيَدْنُ مِنْهُ, he should get close to him, فَلَيَمَسَّهُ, he should touch that person, فَإِنَّ الرَّحِيمِ إِذَا مُسَّتْ سَكَنَتْ, when that relationship of blood or womb, they touch one another, you know, the person becomes calm. Number four. So we looked at the issue of, saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, sitting down, you know, physically touching somebody who is related to you by blood relationship. And number four, Imam says, he's connecting this issue with the earth. And this is the fifth Imam, you know, where he said that ghazab is this inner fire within you, and your eyes become red, your veins swallow up there. Then Imam says, فَإِذَا خَافَ أَحَدُكُمْ ذَلِكَ مِن نَفْسِهِ, if you fear that anger within yourself, فَلْيَلْزَمْ الْعَرْضِ, he should immediately put himself onto the ground. Maybe go into the position of sajda, not doing a sajda. Because when you touch the earth, then the ridges of shaitan will go away and you will become calm. So it's interesting that we see in the teachings of the Imam that, you know, if you are blood relative, touching one another, you know, makes you calm. The posture from standing to sitting down, and then even the possibility of sitting down on the ground, touching the ground, will bring you back to the reality. Then you will become more calm. And finally, we are told, drink cold water or go and do wudu. That will calm you down. And so this is where we have to realize that when we are talking about Abbas bin Ali, that he was a very courageous personality, and no doubt about it. But courage does not always mean somebody who is out of control of his anger. No. Abbas bin Ali for us is a perfect example. He excelled in both levels of jihad, the physical jihad as well as the spiritual jihad. You know, when we talk about the spiritual jihad, this is where we have to have this control of our nafs. And when we talk about the nafs, it is the element of ghadab and shahwat, anger and desire, which pushes us to the wrong, situation. And controlling the ghadab and shahwat, that anger and desire, the elements, by our aql and by the light of religious teachings, this is where you attain this higher level in the spiritual jihad. Abbas bin Ali for us indeed knew how to control his emotion of ghazab. He actually for us is a true manifestation of the Prophet and his loyal companions, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fath, Surah number 48, in Ayah 29 that I recited earlier after the khutbah, he says, Muhammadun Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ahu, that Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, who are truly with him, what is their character? أَشِدَّوَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَرُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they are firm against the enemies. When they face the enemies, they are very firm. But they are kind when they are within themselves. And so these might be opposites. But a mu'min should know when to become firm and when to become soft. While facing the enemies, if Abbas would go, the enemies were fearful. That is his courage on a physical level. But that same Abbas, when he goes into his own circle of family and friends, everyone loved him. They longed to see him, to sit down and talk with him and meet him. And this is where it's reflected in different ways. You look at the level of trust that Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam had on Abbas. Not only that, he made him the commander in chief and the flag bearer. You know, he divided his companion and male family members into three flanks, right, left, and the center. Zuhair became commander of one, Habib became commander of the other, and Abbas was given the command of the central flank of Imam Hussein's army. And the alam was given to him. That's why he's known as Alamdar, the flag bearer of Hussein. And even if you look at it, and we don't want to recite, you know, Masaib on a Viladat day here, but look at the last moment. When you look at the level of trust that Hussein ibn Ali had, this was because of the courage that Abbas had, and Abbas would use it in the right way. That when he says to him that if you go away, my whole, you know, army is gone. For him, Abbas became the symbol of the strength of Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the women. The women were always at peace, at ease, knowing that Abbas is with them. As long as he's there, nobody can do anything to them. Even the children of the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam adored Abbas, especially when it came to Sakina. You know, for Sakina, Abbas was the loving uncle. Yes, she had many other uncles. But this attachment of Sakina to Abbas is very unique, very special. To the extent that this has been, you know, symbolized in form of the mashk, the water bag, which is placed on the alam of Hazrat Abbas. Not on the alam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Wherever you will see the alam of Abbas, you will see the mashk and the water bag of Sakina. That symbolizes the attachment of Sakina, the four-year-old daughter of Hussein, to Abbas bin Ali. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, he was not somebody who was always angry. No. He was somebody who was adored by the children, loved by the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his extended family. You know, borrowing the poetic expression of Allama Iqbal, I can say that among family and friends, Abbas was as soft as silk. There is no cloth more, you know, soft than silk. But among the enemies, Abbas was as solid as steel. You know, abrasion on one side, and then you have this steel on the other side, the silk and the steel. Two different, you know, entities. One is very soft in touch, and the other is very solid. And so when he is with the family, he's like silk. When he goes there and confronts the enemy, he is as solid as steel. And so let me end the English part of the speech tonight with the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is a testimony of the greatness of Abbas bin Ali from the words of a ma'asum. So I'm not even quoting a historian or an alim here. No, we're talking about a ma'asum imam who lived with Abbas, who had seen his jihad, who had seen his shahadat. Imam Zainul Abidin describes his uncle by saying, Rahim Allahu Ammi al-Abbas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, have showered his mercy on my uncle Abbas. Laqad athara wa abla. He sacrificed. And, you know, he gave the test in the best manner. Wa fada akhahu bi nafsihi. And he sacrificed his life for the sake of his brother, until his hands were cut. فَعَبْدَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِجَنَاحَيْنِ. Because his hands or his arms were cut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced it with two wings. And this is not unprecedented in Islamic history. يَطِيلُ بِهُمَا بِهِمَا مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He actually, basically, he flies around in the Jannah with the Malaika. كَمَا جَعَلَ لِجَعْفَرْ بِنْ عَبِي طَالِبِ. This is not first time in history. You know, the fourth Imam says, even Ja'far bin Abi Talib, my grand uncle, was also, whose arms also were cut in the battle, and he became Shaheed. Ja'far, he is known as Ja'far al-Tayyar, Tayyar who can, fly, because he was also given wings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after his Shahadat. And then the Imam says something which is amazing about Abbas. He says, إن للعباس عند الله تبارك وتعالى منزلة. That verily Abbas has a special position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يغبطه عليها جميع الشهداء يوم القيامة. That position is so precious that all other martyrs will wish for that on the day of judgment. When they see the manzila and the status of Abbas bin Ali on the day of Qiyamah, they will wish that I also would have attained that status.
Subhanallah.
It's important to realize that the Ma'soom Imam uses the word يَغْبِطُهُ عَلَيْهَا جَمِيعُ الشُّهَدَى. He says all the shuhada on the day of Qiyamah. This term جَمِيع is very important. It even includes Ja'far bin Abi Talib. It also includes Hamza Sayyid al-Shahada. All the Shahada of the previous time. And even all other Shahada who will come after Karbala. All of them will wish that they would have that status. And so when the fourth Imam says, what he is saying is that the manzila and the status of Abbas bin Ali on the day of Qiyamah, in the eyes of Allah, is the highest position given to the shuhada. Salawat from Nikbar.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We don't have a choice now but to go to Urdu. Salawat, please, once more.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Janabe Abbas, کہ کردار اور ان کے اخلاق کی عظمت اتنی ہے کہ اگرچہ انہیں ہم معصوم نہیں کہتے ہیں, اس لیے کہ معصوم کہنے کے لیے ہمیں قرآن یا معصوم کی حدیث سے ہمیں ایویڈنس چاہیے. ایویڈنس ہے نہیں. اسلام میں ہم لوگ صرف کہتے ہیں 14 معصومین ہیں, 14 انفیلیبلز ہیں, رسول اسلام, بی بی فاطمہ اور 12 امام. لیکن ان کے علاوہ کچھ اور پرسنالٹیز ہیں, جیسے جناب زینب ہیں یا جناب عباس. ان کے بارے میں ہم ایک دوسری تعبیر استعمال کرتے ہیں کہ not in a real sense but in a symbolic sense they are محفوظتن عن الخطا, یعنی پریکٹیکل لیول پر ان سے کوئی گناہ دیکھا نہیں گیا ہے, تو وہ معصوم نہیں ہیں لیکن خطا سے وہ محفوظ ہیں. بلکہ اگر آپ چاہیں اس بات کو سمجھنا پیام اعظمی اپنے ایک منقبت میں جناب عباس کے سلسلے میں اسی تصور کو انہوں نے پیش کیا ہے, جہاں وہ فرماتے ہیں حد عصمت کی چھوئی ہے تیرے کردار کی رفعت نے, حد عصمت کی چھوئی ہے تیرے کردار کی رفعت, نہ آیا ذہن انسانی میں تیرا مرتبہ اب تک. Your character borders the limit of infallibility. Your true status has not been perceived by a human. جہاں پہنچا دیا تھا تیری ہمت کی بلندی نے, بڑی آگے وہاں سے پھر نہ تاریخ وفا اب تک. The height where your courage has reached, the story of loyalty cannot suppress that limit. وفاداری کو اس لیول پہ پہنچا دیا ہے کہ اب تاریخ وفا میں اس سے بہتر کوئی اور وفاداری کی مثال نہیں ملتی ہے کہ وہ عباس جو نہر القمہ پر قابض ہو جائے، جو مشکیزہ میں پانی بھر لے، لیکن خود اپنی پیاس کو ختم نہیں کرتا ہے، پانی ہے لیکن نہیں پیتا ہے، کہ پہلے سکینہ پیئیں گی، پہلے حسین پیئیں گے، اس کے بعد ہم پیئیں گے، تو وفاداری کی اس حد تک پہنچا دیا ہے اپنی عظمت اور ہمت کو کہ اس کے بعد کوئی اور تاریخ وفا میں کچھ لکھ نہیں سکتا ہے آگے. جناب عباس یقیناً جسمانی طور پہ بہت ہی شجاع اور بہادر تھے، اور اسی لیے جناب حسین علیہ السلام کو جو بھروسہ تھا، جناب زینب کو بھروسہ تھا. دوبارہ پیام اعظمی کے اشعار پیش کرنا چاہیں گے. ہلچل مچی ہوئی ہے لشکر میں اشقیا کے، ہلچل مچی ہوئی ہے لشکر میں اشقیا کے، ایک اور مرتضیٰ ہے اب گھر میں مرتضیٰ کے. There is chaos in enemy's ranks and they are shouting, another Ali has appeared in Ali's house, when they saw Abbas coming. تو یہ وہ عظمت ہے، یہ شجاعت ہے جناب عباس کی. جناب عباس صرف اپنے غضب کے طاقت میں کمال کے لیول پہ نہیں تھے جو کنٹرول کرتے تھے، بلکہ ان کا کمال یہ ہے جناب عباس کا، سب سے بڑی بات یہی ہے کہ انسان طاقت رکھتے ہوئے، شجاعت و بہادری رکھتے ہوئے، لیکن صرف اپنے مولا کی اطاعت کرتا ہے، اپنے ایموشنز پہ نہیں جاتا ہے. عباس عبد الغضب نہیں ہے، عبد الشہوہ نہیں ہے، بلکہ یہ اگر عبد ہیں تو حسین کے ہیں، اگر عبد ہیں تو حسن کے ہیں، اگر عبد ہیں تو علی کے ہیں، اگر عبد ہیں تو رسول اللہ کے ہیں، اگر عبد ہیں تو خداوند عالم کے ہیں. اسی لیے چھٹے امام جو زیارت وارث صاحب میں جملہ ہے، العبد الصالح، خدا کا نیک بندہ ہے جو اپنے تمام ایموشنز اور فیلنگز کو قربان کر دیتا ہے اپنے مولا کی مرضی کے سامنے، اور یہی سب سے بڑی شجاعت ہے. دوبارہ ہم یہاں ختم کرنا چاہیں گے اس محفل کو پیام اعظمی کے اشعار سے، جہاں فرماتے ہیں، شجاعت ناز کرتی ہے، شجاعت ناز کرتی ہے تیرے ضبط شجاعت پر. The courage itself salutes your restraint of courage. تیرا کردار ہے نوع بشر کا معجزہ اب تک. Your character is a miracle for human beings. یہ عظمت ہے کہ خود شجاعت جو ہے ناز کرے کہ اے عباس، آپ نے شجاعت پر کتنا کنٹرول کیا ہے صرف اپنے مولا کی مرضی کے خاطر. اور یہی ہمارے لیے اسوہ ہے، یہی وہ نمونہ ہے، یہی مثال ہے. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے، خداوندہ اسی باب الحوائج عباس بن علی کے صدقے میں تمام انسانوں کو کرونا وائرس کی اس مصیبت سے نجات دے. خداوندہ کرونا وائرس کے اس مصیبت کے جو سائیڈ ایفیکٹس ہیں آپسی تعلقات کے سلسلے میں، خصوصاً غضب اور غصے کے بارے میں، خداوندہ عباس بن علی کی اس شجاعت اور ضبط شجاعت کا واسطہ ہم لوگوں میں بھی وہ صلاحیت پیدا کر کہ ہم اپنے غصے پر کنٹرول کر سکیں. خداوندہ جتنے مسلمان ہیں ان میں امن و امان کی فضا پیدا کر. شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ. تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع الحلیم.